it's Nicole Brandon, and welcome to Passionate Living. I have such an exciting show for you today, and I love the fact that as we're watching the news, and there's so much in the warring of the worlds, and there's so much angst going on, that we can bring you people from around the world that are making a difference in energy and light and love, and that have the keys and the tools and the secrets and the know-how for really creating and changing an evolutionary life, that happily ever after life. And today we are talking with such an extraordinary guest. We are speaking with Dr. Sky Blossom. And as I look at her work, it's absolutely astounding, from the psychological field to human behavior to high performance to actually a way to create new relationships and beautiful relationships. And she is an author, a speaker, and truly somebody that's groundbreaking in the field of love and energy in our society today. And so it is my great honor and pleasure to introduce to you to today's guest, Sky Blossom. Sky, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Nicole. What a warm and lovely introduction. Thank you so much. I'm deeply honored to be here and in full, wholehearted support of your mission. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's an absolute joy, an absolute pleasure. I'm looking at this unbelievable background of you. I mean, it is a kaleidoscope of wonder and a maze of human psychology. And so one of my favorite questions to ask guests always is the did you know factor, which is when you were a little girl, when you were 5 and 6 and 7, and other little girls were playing with dolls and playing house, did you always have something inside of you that wanted to help other kids, or that was trying to fix other kids' problems, or did something happen later in life that really led you to this field?
Oh, I love this question, and it's going to make you laugh likely. When I was about 5 or 6 years old, I was living in the city, and actually it was in Soviet Union, and I was so craving nature, and I wanted to be closer to animals and to nature, so I actually wanted to be a cowgirl or tend to pigs, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah. So, because I had no idea what it was like, right? Not your typical childhood dream. But I did have special abilities since forever, since I was born. I'm a third generational healer, and certain awarenesses I had all along, but I did not know that they were special and that other people didn't know. So that was the key. And because I was brought up in an atheistic environment, and so behind the Iron Curtain, where religion and spirituality were taboo subjects, and we had slogans everywhere that God does not exist, I was pretty much blinded to my own capacity to help others. However, life experience made me passionate about human relationships and made me value human connection above all, because at the age of 11, I was separated for 3.5 years from my parents and moved to live in another city. And as I was deeply depressed and pretty much suicidal, I realized that human love and connection is the most precious thing we can experience, and no amount of material means can substitute for that. So that really started my journey on opening my own heart to love and helping others do the same.
Wow. What is it like to be 11 years old and to be separated from your parents? Because I just know how close I am to my parents. And as a child, I just can't imagine that journey.
Well, that's pretty much, and considering I was moved to another city and all of my friends and everything I knew was left behind, so it felt like everyone I knew and loved died at the same time. And even though, of course, I had access to them, but I got to see my parents only maybe a couple of times a year, very briefly. And I lived with my grandparents, but I was not getting along with them well. So that was not easy. Let's just put it that way.
Wow. When you were able to see as a child and you had this gift and talent, because I'm asking because a lot of indigo children are coming in now. And there are a lot of children that have these amazing abilities. And do you have any advice for the parents of a child that can see and can?
Right. I was not seen, I knew. I knew a lot of things that many people who are on a spiritual path are still discovering. I was aware of them as a kid. For example, even though I was suicidal, I knew that killing my body would do nothing. And I was really, and I knew that I could not exist. That existence was something that was not a choice. It was just given. And I had, at 11 years old, argument with God that what kind of freedom of choice is that if I cannot choose not to exist? And it took me 20-some years to realize why is that. But to answer your question about advice for children who are indigo, really create an environment in which they can thrive and in which they could be fully expressive. Become curious about what they see and really open to learning from them, because chances are they're more connected than most other humans.
Wow, that's beautiful advice. And, you know, looking, you've been featured on CBS Radio and Boston Business Journal and Fox News and the Bloomberg Business Week and ABC. I mean, you were like everywhere. And people are so drawn to you and to your talent. And as we were talking at the top of the show, you're gorgeous. You're so beautiful. And I wish this was a video show and everybody could see, but you're like a living angel. And so take me a little bit through your journey of, I mean, you went through 2 decades of studying psychology and actually changed or turned that into an opening of the heart and an opening of the spirit and the soul. And now you've helped people all over the world.
Yeah. Well, it was not a straightforward path like for most people. In fact, I changed jobs, especially after moving to the U.S., almost every 2 years, and radically industry. And I always knew that whatever I was doing, even though I was good at that, that was not my calling. That was not my path. Even after graduating from medical university, I liked what I did, but I didn't feel it was it, right? When people are saying discovering your purpose, discovering what is it that you're supposed to do, I knew that there was something bigger. And at some point, after a decade of asking that question, I was really getting frustrated. And I was very happily married, finally, right? After so many struggles and divorces of my own, I was very happily married, lived in Beverly Hills, and supposedly had it all. I was driving a prestigious car, living in a lovely condo, had the job that most people would dream of. We were making good living with my husband. And yet I felt this dissatisfaction that whatever I'm doing is not right. I'm not utilizing my skills and talents. So we decided to make a radical move and go on sabbatical, because I thought when I'm running this red race, going 9 to 5 to work and running errands in the evening and, you know, having brief getaways on the weekends, there is no way I can open my mind to truly receive divine inspiration. It takes time. So we organized the sabbatical and went away for about, initially it was 5 months trip. And after 4 months of my being on the beach and making cakes, that's all I was doing, in Costa Rica, I finally had an idea. It was like just an inspiration to write a book. And the book, and I never had the ambition to write a book. You know how many people say, well, it's my dream to write a book, but I never had that. And to me, it came as a complete surprise. And I almost had a conversation with myself. So what the book should be about. And the answer came, well, relationships, that's what you know in and out. So I kind of followed my inner calling and I started on the journey. And what happened from there, it was just magical. The doors started opening, and I had publishing contract literally in 3 months after I had the idea of writing a book. And in the process of my writing my book, also synchronistically, my own talent was revealed to me, where a few people in a row asked me for help just randomly. And I was able to change their life on the spot. And literally three or four of them were saying, you are amazing. We're just going to go and promote you. You do what you do. You're magical. And it came a surprise to me. I was like, oh my God, I can do that. Wow. And a couple of those people happened to be very well accomplished and successful and some of the celebrity in their field. And they started calling me for more help with other issues and recommending people, me to people. And I was doing this for a while, pretty much without even charging, because I wasn't even sure what my gift was, right? And then finally, it became very, very clear that this is what I came to do. And it became a full-time pursuit.
That's beautiful. I mean, I love the fact that you followed your heart and you trusted and you took a step forward. And I think that's a great lesson for so many people listening, that you had a calling to write this book. The fact that I think we all go through those times in our life when we're not sure whether or not, you know, this is the right path for us. This is the right calling for us. This is the right step. Is this the right bridge? And we question our own abilities, our own gifts, our own talents, and then we leap. And the flight is just so glorious and so awe-inspiring for other people. And I'm sure, you know, with your work, as I read, I was going through today all of the testimonials of people that have worked with you. Oh, my goodness. It's like you have changed people's life after life after life after life. People can never live without you. They've never been happier. They've never had better relationships. You're the guru and the God. And I love that, because from so many different walks of life, like there weren't two people that were identical in your testimonials or people that, you know, have enjoyed. So I love the fact that you have so brilliantly been able to weave your work, you know, through the tapestry of humanity right now. And I know that we're jumping to break in just a minute, but when we return, I'd love to talk about the best thing ever.
Yay.
And some of the seven reasons, which I think that we all can relate to. So more with Sky Blossom when we return here on Passionate Living. It's Nicole Brandon. We are here on Passionate Living talking with Sky Blossom about relationships, romance, self-love, love with others, the planet, the world, and following your heart, your spirit, your soul, your vision, your intuition, and your dreams. That's a lot.
Right.
That's what you're talking about. So right before the break, we were talking about your book, Best Thing Ever. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's so many reasons people are drawn to read something or to be part of something or to work with somebody. And so I want to ask you about several of these things. And the first one I would love to ask you about is love or lust. Is there like a distinguishable difference?
Wow, it's such a great question. And yes, actually, they're completely two different things. They're so different, it's amazing how people can ever confuse the two. They're vastly different. So actually, if I may shine a little bit of light on what love is, and love is at the core of everything. It's just that oneness and connection and appreciation that we feel for another being, because we really don't see much difference between, we feel that affinity, right? That we're stemming from one source and we feel related and we just adore that other being. And in that sense, we adore ourselves through that other person or a dog or a flower, whatever that we feel love towards. And when it comes to romantic love, there are so many things that are mixed in with that amazing feeling. There is soul purpose, there is self-discovery, and there is physical attraction and chemistry, which Mother Nature gifted us with so that we can procreate and continue species. So lust is a product of two things. One is polarity, masculine and feminine, meeting and creating a chemical reaction. And the second thing is the chemical reaction in our body, which is a delightful cocktail of hormones running through your bloodstream, making you a little crazy and making you jump on someone. So
delightful cocktail of hormones. I've never heard it phrased that way. That's just delicious.
It is indeed. It is delicious and it is somewhat addictive. Good news is it could be cultivated and crafted, and this experience can be very conscious. And unfortunately for majority of people, it is a default thing that they experience and don't know how to create it or how to keep it. And because this attraction is so strong, because Mother Nature wants to make sure that we mate, then people often confuse it with love, but they're actually two separate things.
Wow, that's such a great answer. I'm going to write that down. That was just the best that I have ever heard. What a fantastic and phenomenal way. You know, it's just like this delectable phrase that you want to hang on to, especially being a writer. That's absolutely brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
Talk to me about dating disappointments.
Well, such a popular subject and kind of pain button for many people. Well, it's a mismatch, right? We all know, I mean, probably not all of us know, but we kind of sense intuitively that the right thing has to feel right. And most of us go on one day after another and just doesn't click. And one thing is wrong or the other thing is wrong. And then eventually we try to analyze all of the things and all of the check marks. And on the paper, it looks great and he's kind of attractive, but then there's still no click. Let's see if we can make it work. And people try to make it work. After all, even if they get into a relationship, they remain disappointed, or if they go on a number of dates like that, then it's the doubt starts creeping in. What if I never meet the right person, right? So all of those disappointments accumulate, and they create more doubt, which can get in the way of meeting the right person. But piggybacking on the story that you've told, and I think there's a profound lesson for everybody. When things are meant to be, they line up in unbelievable synchronicities. The universe literally knocks itself out to bring the two of you together. And of course, if you are in a very harsh state of resistance and you are just not vibrationally a match to your soulmate, then it's the whole another story. However, if you're ready, there is no need to worry whatsoever of when and how you're going to meet, because I have made it a project for many years right now, and I don't see that stopping ever. I have interviewed successful couples who are really, really happy together. And literally, when you meet them, their love is palpable. They're passionate about each other. They're in deep admiration of one another, profound respect, and all of those beautiful elements that most of us want. And when they got to share their love stories with me, the amazing miracles that I've heard are mind-blowing, to the point that I featured one couple in my book, Best Thing Ever, which wild dolphins brought them together.
Wow, seriously? Oh my gosh, seriously. How beautiful.
But that was not it. Then they still, wild dolphins were bringing them over and over again together, nose to nose, and they still kind of said hi to each other but did not go further in developing any relationship or connection. And the universe had to pull another unbelievable miracle, which I'm not going to tell you what that is. You'll have to read the book to reveal that mystery, but it's just mind-blowing. It's purely like that just cannot be, but yet that's how it happened for those people. And I interviewed Peggy McCall, who's a New York Times number one bestselling author, and she's just an incredible woman. And she met her husband, Dennis, a little bit later in life, after she already had a teenage son, and they both have been through divorces. But nonetheless, when she was single and successful, and all of her girlfriends were like, you should register for online dating, or maybe you should go out so you could meet people, because she's an entrepreneur. She works from home, like many of us, right? So she doesn't get out much. And she's like, no, it doesn't feel right. And they said, what do you think? He's going to knock at your door? And she said, well, maybe. And guess what?
Really?
He did. He did knock at her door. So there is endless possibilities. Any person who is currently single and who is yearning for that true love and deep soulful connection, I can tell you a few things. First of all, when you meet that right person, it feels like home, and you've never been more comfortable in your life. And it feels just delightful. And actually, it's a smooth flow. You don't start solving problems from the get-go. That's number one. Number two, I've noticed that almost every single time, there's some mystery associated with that. So there is some magic confirming that, yes, you're on the right path. And there is something else I was going to say. So it's, and you don't have to worry much about, again, how and when. All you need to do is to make sure that you're ready, that your heart is open, that you've dealt with whatever patterns that were running in your previous relationships. You looked closely at your life and what has been happening before, and fully received the gifts and lessons in the previous relationships so that you can move on and start from a clean slate.
That's perfect. Yeah. I love that. Liza Minnelli. Do you know who Liza Minnelli is? She's
of course, yeah.
And she has a song called Ring Those Bells. And it's about how she traveled the world and she met the guy that lived next door.
Yeah.
Literally lived next door. So I love the fact that somebody came knocking on a door, and having the faith that somebody can come knocking at your door. Having the faith that love will connect you, and that and when you talk about it feeling like home.
Yeah.
I can't imagine a better way to feel.
Yes. And, you know, I want to add on to this because there are different levels of relationships and different purposes for which people engage in relationships. And I think it will be really helpful for our audience to run those distinctions. Well, in early age, let's say when people are teenagers, the purpose for relationship is still exploring your sexuality, exploring your preferences and likes, and discovering who you are and how you show up in different circumstances. And very rarely, I'm not saying it's not possible, but it's very rare that you meet your soulmate and true connection that you will be with for a lifetime with at that early age. And then later in life, people may be driven by creating a family, having children together, running a household together. This is just the customary in a society to get married, and you feel you find the person who kind of fits the bill, and you marry them. So those are different. Those are more social purposes for a relationship. And then as you evolve spiritually, and as you evolve in your own mission in life, then the purpose of your relationship becomes bigger and greater. You realize that you and your mate is not only for your own enjoyment and pleasure of having someone you like in bed, but it's for you together accomplishing more that either one of you could do individually. It's for your union to be a power force to accomplish whatever it is that you choose and make the difference that you want to make. And it becomes the purpose for your relationship becomes greater than your individual lives. And that's when I say soul mate couples or twin flame couples are formed, and they have profound spiritual mission together besides just being partners in our human experience.
I love that you talk about them as a power force, and I can't wait to get back to it because this is so exciting for me. And I know that we're jumping to break, and there's so much I want to talk to you about. So more when we return here on Passionate Living with Sky Blossom. Nicole Brandon. We are back on Passionate Living with Sky Blossom, just absolutely learning so much about love and passion and lust and relationships and true soul journeys. I love the fact that you talk about a power couple and somebody's mission being greater together than it is apart. I just think that there's such a joy in hearing that, and there's such a knowingness that it's true.
Yes. And I had the pleasure of interviewing many of these power couples, and they are just this powerful union of yin and yang, of masculine and feminine, where they add on and enhance each other. And again, they call each other to be at their greatest. For example, one couple, Mickey Willis and Nadia Salamanca, they're filmmakers and philanthropists.
Sure. Yes.
You know them, right?
Yes.
So they keep saying to each other, stop hiding, show up more. And they keep encouraging each other to live bigger, to be more of who they are, be more expressive in every pursuit. So that's the beauty. And so it's that wholehearted support and backing up all the way. Yeah.
That's beautiful. And I love who they are as parents too. I love who they are individually. I love who they are together and how they express their love. I love the beauty in which they share the world and their community, and they bring everybody into their love story.
Yeah. You know,
and then how they share that and their unique take on the world. They're not afraid to share whatever's happening in the moment. And I think that makes them even more powerful.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, they have a very interesting and unusual love story, and I tell it in my book. And after they met, they parted ways for a couple of months before they came together. But when they did, it was so powerful that they never had a fight for over a decade now.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Really, just so spectacular. And Sky, how does somebody work with you? Do you work on Skype? Do you do workshops? Do you do one-on-one? I know that you speak around the world, and I know that you have this incredible book that people are finding. And so what's the best way to find you? Because I know people are on the edge of their seat saying, I need this so badly.
Right.
Only I was working with her.
Yes. Well, bestthingever.com is my website. So that's the way to find me. And connect with me on Facebook, Sky Blossoms. It's facebook.com/, I think it's Blossom Sky. I'm sure you're going to post a link. Just connect with me on Facebook. This is the best way. And go to my website, get on my list. And I do work with a handful of people privately. I do lead workshops. I have online courses. And I'm putting something awesome together, which I am so head over heels about. And it's called Best Thing Ever for Singles. It's going to be a live event in Orange County this November, where for 3 days we're bringing together extraordinary, exceptional people, men and women, who are successful in their own right, growth oriented, and open-hearted and open-minded people who are looking for their true match. And we're providing 3 days of world-class training, party, fun, and the actual opportunity to meet the love of your life.
That's beautiful. That sounds like a commercial. I'm ready to go. You like see all these women that are right now are listening to the show and all their hands are raised and they're like,
right. Well, it's an application only. So, it's not even available yet. Probably next week it will be going public. So you are the first one to know, actually. This is the first time I'm talking about it publicly ever.
I'm so thrilled to be that one. So
yes. Yes. We're going to start opening application next week. And we will pre-screen every person who is going to be in the room.
I love that. It's just so beautiful. And I wanted to ask you something that really captured my attention when I was going through your material and going through the website. Yeah. Because I think it's a subject, you know, I have Unlimited Life and Passionate Living and Hourglass Bride. And in every show, that I have, whether it's a television show or a radio show or a call-in show, people always want to ask this question. And the fact that it's on your site, my spirit and soul just jumped at it, which is, can you find freedom in commitment?
Oh, yes. It's my favorite question. Thank you. Absolutely. Well, and you have to rethink commitment. I personally do not buy in a traditional understanding of commitment the way we were conditioned to believe, where you say, okay, I now hereby choose you and we're going to be together till death do us part. That type of commitment is very challenging, and no wonder that it does not keep people together. Because here's the thing, there's traps in that commitment. Many people assume that, okay, you've committed to me, now we're married or whatever, and you're supposed to love me forever. Now the game is won. I can rest in my laurels, gain a few pounds, and let myself be sloppy with you. And if I'm in a bad mood, just not be kind to you and be short with you at times. And you're supposed to love me. You're my lover, aren't you? You're supposed to love me. And that happens, unfortunately, so much, where people treat their loved ones more poorly than they treat strangers. And the way I perceive commitment, it's a daily choice. It's a moment-to-moment choice to be with this person. And I choose you today, and I'm fully committed to be with you today. And chances are, I'll choose you tomorrow. But if either one stops showing up, then don't expect that choice. There is no guarantee. And yes, there is a degree of uncertainty in that. But if, let's put it this way, no happy couple ever breaks up. If both people are happy in a relationship and fully satisfied, they stay together. And nobody wants to go through a pain of breakup and through another pain of looking again for a mate just for fun. Right? It normally happens because there is deep dissatisfaction and growing resentment and arguments, and it's just not working. So if both, and there were reasons why in the beginning partners like each other and they fall in love with each other and they're each other's biggest fans, because people show up. So commitment is becoming, I commit to myself to be the best version of me possible to share with you. And then the other person can say, you are the best thing that ever happened to me. And if both keep this commitment to oneself to show up at their best, and sometimes your best is truly your best. Sometimes your best is just vulnerable and sick or whatever. But if you stay true and raw and vulnerable and honest with yourself and with your beloved, we understand. We don't expect perfection every moment of every day, but doing your absolute best and treating your beloved with love, care, and respect, it's a must.
This is just pristine information. I absolutely love it, and that's beautiful. And I love saying, if either one stops showing up and I commit to you today, is, I mean, for people to show up 100% of who they are. My mom used to say to me, you know, honey, love is not 50-50. It's 100-100, 100% of who you are at any given moment in time.
Mm-hmm. And absolutely.
You know, that makes 90-10, and sometimes it's 98-2, and sometimes it's 60-40, and, you know, you hope that it's 50. But as long as you are authentically you in any given moment in time and, you know, sharing your whole heart, and they've been married 53 years, and they look like newlyweds, and they're in love, and I've learned so much from their relationship and how they respect each other and love each other, and just the joy they bring to each other's lives and each other's hearts is like watching some fairy tale romance. Just being in the audience for the love story has been astounding, and to be their child even more so. So I love all of these things that you're sharing, and I know that we're jumping to a break in just a couple minutes, but one of the things that I love to ask my guests on the show is, since the show is called Passionate Living, mm-hmm. what does leading and living a passionate life mean to you?
Well, it means fully following my inspirations and the drive of my soul in every moment. That's what it is. When I'm connected to the fullness of who I am, and I am going with my own flow and fully executing and allowing myself to become more and fully show up for whatever moment calls for, that's passionate living.
Your work is beautiful. I'm so excited for you. It's so glorious. And so more when we return here with Sky Blossoms on Passionate Living. Nicole Brandon, and we are back on Passionate Living with Sky Blossoms. That song really matches the energy of the romance and the love and the lifestyle that you've been sharing. It's so glorious. As I'm listening to you, it's like a beautiful medley and song as you're talking about love. And to just hear something that spectacular, it's just sweeping. It's like swaddling in love and magnificence and light. And so... So thank you very much to the station there. That was just absolutely beautiful.
Yes.
And so, okay, I wanted to dive even deeper now. Are you ready?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay, so on your website, it also talks about, in your book, The Best Thing Ever, it talks about attracting and embracing the love you've always wanted. So, I mean, as women, especially from the time we're little, you have that fairy tale in your head and that, you know, picture perfect wedding, whatever that is. And it talks about a 10-day process, which is nothing if you consider a lifetime of wishing and wanting and dreaming and desiring. And then there were a couple words that really caught my eye as I was reading through it. One is about opening your heart. Yeah. Are most people's hearts closed?
Yes, unfortunately. So I can illustrate this very vividly to distinguish closed heart between the open heart. So when you meet, let's say, when you see a baby or you see a kitten or you see a rose, is it easy to love them?
Yes.
And in fact, when you see, let's say, puppy, your heart almost melts naturally and you're going like, oh, right? And you feel love towards yes. that being. Thank you. And that is because their heart of those beings, like baby or puppy, is already open. And they do not run any defenses. They're innocent. And therefore, it serves as an invitation for your heart to open and then you connect on that deep level. However, imagine you're running into a person who is stressed out and just talking about how bad the traffic was. You do not have this, oh, reaction to them because they are closed off and defensive against the whole world. Now, unfortunately, because most of us have been hurt, especially through relationships, because relationship is one special realm that can grant you heaven on earth and hell as well. And as beautiful and pleasurable as love can be, the breakups are one of the hardest things to go through. So our biology stores the memory of that pain. And we start naturally building defenses, trying to protect ourselves from getting hurt again, which is natural, right? We don't want to get hurt. If you are touching hot stove, you're extra, extra careful looking at the stoves in the future and trying to make sure you don't get burned again. So the same happens with relationships. So we build up these defense mechanisms and they inevitably close our heart. And when most people meet other people, romantically or otherwise, they're not even their real selves. They're running this public persona without intentionally trying to deceive anybody, without intentionally trying to pretend. This is just something that we adopt since very, very early age, and it becomes automatic and unconscious. Like a mother yells at you for breaking something, and maybe in order to protect yourself, you feel compelled to lie next time. And then you do not show up authentically. And then you learn that in order to be accepted and loved by your peers or by your parents, you need to run certain types of behavior, right? And because it happens for years and years and years, most people lose sense of who they really are. And when in spiritual communities, we start talking, well, be authentic. In order to be confident, you really need to be yourself. For most people, it's like, what the hell is that to be myself? I am myself. But they're not in touch with the magnitude of that self, right? So, and on the flip side, when the heart is open, a person is virtually irresistible. Because open heart invites other hearts to open, and radical authenticity gives the permission to other people to be also vulnerable and raw. So that said, even if one person out of two or three or five has done their work and open, healed their emotional wounds and has their heart open, it influences everybody around them, and it gives them an invitation to step in, because it creates the space of acceptance. I accept you as you are. That's okay. I'm not defending myself from you. You can show up just as you are, and I will love you just the same. I will not judge you.
That is so sweet and so succulent. I mean, just, I love this information, and I am so excited for the way that you share it. It is so clear and so concise and so inspiring and so graspable for people to understand with such clarity. And I thank you so much for sharing it in such a perfect fashion. That was just beautiful. And in that sentence, there were another two words. So it was interesting because he talks about the 10-day process designed to open your heart. And of course, the opening of the heart right away, it was like going down a water slide into this pool of water. And then the other part of the sentence says to invite a perfect partner. And so can you talk about inviting somebody into your life?
Yes, absolutely. Well, I want to touch upon something you said. How do you open your heart to true love and invite that perfect partner? What needs to happen before you can invite this perfect partner, your true match? You need to embrace fully and completely all other relationships that you had and recognize that nothing ever went wrong. You never failed. And everything that happened to you or for you, even if it was painful, was a gift. And you were invited to become more powerful, to become more confident, to hold your ground, to know yourself better, and to claim what you truly want through those experiences. So, ironically, in order to embrace your true match, you have to embrace all of those mismatches, because then you're not running any resistance in your vibration. That's physics.
And then when you talk about inviting the perfect partner, is there a perfect partner? That was the other word.
Oh, that is the best question. Are you ready? We're going down the rabbit hole now.
Let's go.
All right. Every person in your life that you're in partnership with, being it friendship, being it relative, being it your romantic partner, is your perfect partner at that time.
Wow.
Because they meet you where you are. And as you grow and evolve, then they become no longer a match. But in the sense of finding your soulmate or your twin flame or that true, true match who will match your highest expression of yourself, let's call that person as your perfect partner, the partner with whom it's an easy flow, with whom this space of complete acceptance and adoration is created, who will inspire you to be the best version of who you are. So there is that person, and maybe more than one. And normally you're from the same soul family, and normally you have intended to share this life journey long before you even showed up in your physical body. And you were getting ready, going on your own separate journey and mission, preparing for the ride together. So in order to arrive at the point where you are ready to call in this perfect partner, in a sense, your the partner who will help you to blossom into the fullest expression of who you are and to live the fullest, best life ever that you can possibly live, you would need to become, to the degree, self-aware, open-hearted, and receptive to the blessings, knowing that you deserve what you want and it is right for you to receive it. And it's not even a question that it's coming. It's that certainty and faith.
Wow. That's to take all that in. For everybody that's listening, breathe. Right now, just breathe. You might even want to just put your hand on your heart.
Yes.
And make a wish on that. That's a lot of wonderful to take in. It really is. It's almost like marinating in the energy of love.
Yes.
Wow.
So
beautiful.
It's easy. It's easy to, it's easier to love than not to love. It's very natural for us. So when it sounds to the mind like this huge task of opening your heart, it's actually super, super natural. And you just need to let go. That's all it takes.
And I also love you taking every past relationship as an invitation to be who you are or to grow or to be powerful or strong enough or to where you are right now instead of having regrets.
Yeah.
For people to actually acknowledge that and be encouraged by their experiences that have led them to who they are today.
Yes, I will share a personal vulnerable story which illustrates this beautifully. One of my relationships was the hardest I've ever had. It was the hardest relationships. I've never argued with anybody so much like I argued with that partner. It was very up and down roller coaster like, very heavy, passionate, and at the same time there was so much tension and things that were ripping me apart. And yet it was probably the most productive relationship I ever had, because that fabulous man, who I have no doubt that he was my soulmate in the terms of showing those things to me, he shone the spotlight and held the magnifying glass to every bit of insecurity about myself that I held, which I needed to face and resolve in order to step into my mission more fully and to be more powerful in who I am and to be more unapologetic for who I am and what I stand for, right? So that no one, even if I love them, even if I share bed with them, could sweep me off my feet and or shake in my confidence. So he played that role brilliantly. If we look at our dynamic from human standpoint, that would look abusive emotionally. And it was from that standpoint. But spiritually, it was a profound gift, which I luckily I was able to receive, because I could see, well, if he's saying those things to me, you will never hear anything that rubs you in the wrong way from another that to a degree you do not believe about yourself. So when people say things that are offensive to you, if they offend you, then you hold a slight fear of that being true. And with that, it was a beautiful invitation for me to do self-check and to say, well, actually, there are moments when I am ruthless in my self-talk, when I'm abusive in how I treat myself. And that's the time to change that. And once I did, you know, I was able to accomplish so much more professionally and personally and in every way, because that relationship was a powerful invitation to step up. Was it easy? No. Would I still choose it, knowing how many gifts it has given me? Absolutely.
Just genius. Well, so much more to continue on with you. So I'm so excited you're here. Thank you so much for your time. And I look forward, as we are down that rabbit hole, exploring a little deeper into the heart and the spirit and the soul of relationships, some more when we return here on Passionate Living.
Feel
it's Nicole Brandon. We are back on Passionate Living with one of my favorite shows ever. We are talking with Sky Blossoms. This information is so beautiful. I feel like I'm being wrapped in candy or something. It's, like, it's so lovely. It's like so sweet and so delicious and so wonderful. It's like Christmas for my soul right now.
Wow.
It really is. So thank you. You know, I wanted you to be able to share with people once more how they can reach you, because I know people are listening to the show going, who is this girl? And to follow you and pursue you are so clear. And it's such a beautiful container for love. So tell people again once more how they can find you and work with you.
Thank you. Find me at bestthingever.com. And on Facebook, Sky Blossoms, connect them both. And I actually run free meditations in the morning. It's a Facebook group called Conscious Society. So if you go and search groups for Contribution Society, it's easy to find. And it's 7 in the morning, free meditation every single day.
You're awesome. Am I allowed to say awesome on the radio? Is that one of those words you can use? It's like, awesome. Right out of the intrigue and the romance, but this work is just terrific. It's funny because I always strive to bring the very top people in, the pinnacle of success, whatever that is, the cherry on every Sunday, and people that have the tools and the techniques and the secrets and the know-how and the keys and the doors and the windows and the pathways to leading and living a better life or a happier ever after life, and that life that you dream of and desire and deserve and know that you're meant to live. And you certainly are that. All your information really brings home, as you talk about relationships, love and romance, the way it's meant to be and meant to be recognized and meant to be lived. So I'm really grateful for you. So thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. And thank you for extracting, for asking the best questions and for your willingness to dive deep.
Of course. And so I know that, you know, we're coming to the top of the show, but I want to go on the other side of that wall for a minute, on the other side of the happy, campy, special, sacred, secret, lovely, terrific, wonderful, luscious romance, and bust the dangerous myths about that smart people believe that actually kill relationships. Yeah. We go just for a second into the gear of the dark side.
Yes. Well, one of them you actually brought up, and your parents successfully busted that myth for you and proved it with over 50 years of success, where it's 50-50 or it's give and take. That's an absolute myth. It's not a give and take. It's 100 and 100. It's a full-on contribution. And then what people ask me often, well, what if I give everything? I'm such a giver. What if my partner does not contribute? Then the question has become, why are you with that partner? So if you are wholeheartedly giving your best and you value yourself as well, then you hold a standard for your partner. And we talked about choosing each other on a daily basis. So you don't keep track of your contribution, because that is a recipe for disaster. It builds resentments. It builds expectations. It breeds disappointments, right? When you do your best and give your best because it makes you happy, that's when the relationship is in a smooth flow. It's not I rub your back, you rub mine. I rub your back because you're my beloved, and it's a pleasure for me to delight you. And there's no expectation that you will rub my back. But when you do, it's certainly lovely. But maybe you will never do that. Maybe you will do something else, right? So that's one of the myths. Let's see. I have 10 of them. I should remember. Another one we also kind of touched upon, that commitment is a lifetime, where a commitment is a moment-to-moment choice. Oh, and here is one more myth that I think is so popular. People get confused about that all the time. They confuse relationships and love. And love and relationships are different things. Obviously, you want to be in a relationship when there is love, but love alone is not enough qualifier for a relationship. You also need to be compatible. And sometimes you can love someone deeper when you're not in a relationship with them. So if you feel love, people assume, well, that means we have to be together. Absolutely not the case. When love is unconditional, relationships are very conditional, because for a long-term success, it takes similar alignment of goals, alignment of lifestyles. There are so many things that come into play to assure that you're living together is harmonious, that you're moving in the same direction, and that it's truly enhancing your overall life experience.
Yes, my body's saying yes, that's the answer. And you're not making the dark side seem very dark. You're illuminating the dark side by busting these myths. And there's such a joy in that. There's such an ease in that. There's almost a place and a space, almost ethereal or heavenly, because you're giving it space allow it to float and to fly. And that's it. It's so special to hear it phrased that way. And then I guess one of the other things that really stood out on the website for me and really stood out in your work is I'm listening to your interviews and seeing some of your shows. And I mean, I love going through all of your media is just fantastic, because it's a smorgasbord of information on the way to really be able to give and to cherish and to nurture and to support and to love deeply and to love profoundly. And each and every lesson is its own jewel and gem. But one of the things that I really wanted to be able to share with our audience today is the how do you recognize the one for you?
Beautiful. Lovely question. Thank you. Well, first of all, you feel when you meet the right person, the one for you, it feels very natural. There is a moment of recognition where it's almost like, oh, there you are. Right? It seems like you've always known each other. And it is a feeling of home. And you feel very relaxed, which is different from feeling of infatuation. Infatuation gets you tensed up and you try to make sure that you are liked or you're putting your best foot forward. When you meet your true match, it's you drop into your most authentic self and you're not trying to pretend whatsoever, because you feel that you're seen, truly seen beyond your appearance or beyond your behavior, that person can see your very heart and soul. And for many people who are very evolved, I've seen it happen on the instant, literally, like you mentioned with your parents. Your dad knew that your mom was right for him before he asked her on the first date. So that is very common. For some people, it takes them a little bit of time. I've interviewed one couple, and they've been friends for about 6 years and worked together. And then literally in one day at the same time, Cupid struck them both. And they were like, oh, you are incredible. And I see you in this new light now. And they've been happily married for many years. They have 3 children together. But it took them 6 years to build that romantic aspect of their connection. But they have been best friends for 6 years. And they have loved working together. They love spending time together. So the connection, the feeling of home has always been there. It's just the romantic and the lust part came in later.
Okay, so I have a question with that then.
Yeah.
So I know that it's like a today thing for people to make a list of these are the 100 things I'm looking for in somebody, or this is my list of must-haves and have-tos. And people put, I want somebody this tall. I want somebody with this color hair. I want somebody that plays the piano. I want somebody that runs. Whatever it is that people are writing on their list. And it seems like it's so uncommon for somebody to write down, I want someone to see me. I want to myself in any given moment in time. I want to be able to share the invisible. I want to be able to have somebody love me for my spirit and soul and not just because of what I look like or where I come from. And why do you think it's so hard for people to ask for their soul to be seen?
Well, because most people have been conditioned or brought to believe that they might be not good deep inside. I've actually had clients who would convey to me that they believe that they discovered themselves, that they won't like it, and that others, so basically if they're really real, that they're a horrible human being, which God knows where that conditioning comes from, like from painful childhood, from some trauma. But, and this is an extreme case, but most people have been conditioned to a degree to believe that they're not good enough for this or for that. So being seen is one of the greatest fears, whether people realize it or not. That's why people are afraid of public speaking. That's why we're afraid to show up without makeup. That's why we are trying to show up at our best, because we're afraid that if we relax a little, then people won't like us and we will be rejected and ultimately die alone, right? So we adopt all of these little tricks on how we know we can elicit approval from others. And when we get into the dating scene, we still run that behavioral pattern. I do not even understand the concept of speed dating. You're trying to tell something for 30 seconds. Like, if it was me, I never went to one of those, but if it was me, I would just be looking silently for 30 seconds into someone's eyes, seeing them. And what's interesting, for most people, it would have been highly uncomfortable.
Wow. I love the idea of being able to be yourself completely with somebody and know that that person is the one, and that as you talk about home or that base camp or that place in which your soul is nourished and nurtured. And I always remember being taught as a child that a landing pad is also a launching pad. Mm-hmm. You know, planes land, but they also fly from there. And so if relationships, yeah, which we soar, are also the ones that we come back and we land, yep, into, and it's a safe place on our solace. And you just paint that so clearly in your discussion and in your picture of relationships, which are just spectacular.
You know, I want to add on to that. In order to allow yourself to be seen and to be comfortable in your own skin, people really need to be comfortable with themselves and learn to appreciate and like themselves genuinely, where they genuinely can look. And have you seen the movie The Secret?
Yes.
Well, I've seen it, and most likely many of our audience members have seen it many times. And there is a scene in the beginning of the movie where Bob Proctor says, "I love myself. I just want to kiss myself." And he literally shows like kissing his own hand or arm. And I watched that and I thought, well, I kind of like myself and I'm confident, but not to the point of wanting to kiss myself. That was the case back then, years ago when it just came out. And then finally, when I was able to cultivate the degree of self-love where I literally adore myself in the mirror and literally, then it's a whole different game. And it's not adoration from a narcissistic perspective. It's a healthy appreciation for the miracle of yourself. And part of it, it was a dream which was so real of me losing my leg. And I lived through the entire emotional experience of losing the leg, being disbelief and devastation, depression, and emerging into embracing my new way of being. And finally, it was like a movie. At the end of this dream, I was dancing, choosing to still dance, even if on one leg. And when I woke up, that dream was so real. When I saw my both legs in my bed, I was so happy and relieved that that was just a dream. But what I did in that moment, I did kiss my leg, maybe for the first time. And that helped me gain this profound appreciation for every part of my body, for every part of who I am, and for every step that I made on the path of this life journey, because it was not supposed to be perfect ever. Nobody's path was supposed to be perfect, and yet it's perfect in its imperfection.
just luscious, really luscious. And it's funny because so many of the members, the people that created The Secret, are friends of mine, dear, dear friends of mine. And mm-hmm. I love the fact that you share The Secret and that you share the Pachamama Alliance, and that speaks so highly of your soul and your consciousness and your attainability into attunement and light and wonder, and just the scene that you would choose is a great reflection of you and the work that you teach. And I'm absolutely in love with your steps in life, and what an incredible journey to come from where you began in another country, and to leave your family at 11, to leave your homeland, to leave your country, to leave the safety and security of your careers and your background behind, to trust your instincts, to trust your heart, to trust your spirit, to trust your soul, to hear a divine calling and to step into that. And then not only to step into it, but now to share it with the world and help people internationally in the way that you do. I mean, that's really remarkable, and kudos to you. I think that's absolutely astounding, and you should be very proud of you.
Thank you, Nicole. Thank you for your very, very kind and very inspiring words. It really means a lot to me. Thank you.
I love what you're doing, and I love the website. So I have to ask you, I know that we're at the top of the show here, but best thing ever, how did you come up with the website?
It was very simple. I was thinking of how to name my book, right? And both my husband at the time and I, we kept saying to each other, you are the best thing that ever happened to me. And then we thought, well, that's the name of the book, Best Thing Ever, because it has few meanings. First of all, when you have that love relationship and soulful connection, that's truly the best thing ever. But what you're really after is being the best version of yourself ever, so that you can be the best thing ever in people's life, being it your children, being it your parents, being it your lover, being it your clients, being it your friends. You are the best thing that ever happened to them. So that's what it's all about.
Great title. When I went to it, it was excited just to go. It's like, who is this girl? She's remarkable. And then the more I read and the more I learn, one of the wonderful things about doing a show like this is that I have the opportunity to share the astounding, to share truly, truly, truly glorious, gifted, just genius, wise, sage, talent, and magi with the planet. And really to give people an entire world of opportunity and tools to lead and to live that happily ever after life. And everything that you have shared today, each in its own way, is a diamond. Each thing that you have said, if people only had that one takeaway and you said nothing else, their lives would improve. Their lives would be better. Their hearts would be open. Their relationships would be deeper. And to add two of those or three of those, or all the way down the line of everything that you have been sharing during this past show, it just really is a lineage and a line for happiness. And you can track it backwards and forwards into their future and through all the history of time. And your work is just really, really beautiful. And I thank you so much for joining us, and look forward to having you come back again and some more in relationships. So.
Yeah, thank you so much, Nicole. And your questions were just brilliant, and I love their flow. And I'm totally in love and in full resonance with your mission and I'm trying to find the best words to describe it. You're bringing together and sharing the gems, and you're so brilliant at actually getting the gems out of something good. So that is a remarkable talent in and of itself, and you are a gem for sure.
Well, thank you for that. That's a mutual admiration. And so for myself, Nicole Brandon, and Sky Blossoms, we are wishing you a passionate life, a life filled with joy and happiness, and each and every one of your wishes and dreams come true. And we are wishing you the happily ever after life. And I look forward to seeing you here next week on Passionate Living.